Hello, everybody. My name's Roger, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Roger.
Grateful recovering addict. I'm sorry. It's an honor to be asked to lead a workshop here. I've never done it before, and I've been around a little while. I'm not a great speaker, I don't feel. So what I'm going to do is how I was taught, and let's just share my experience, strength, and hope. I'm going to tell you my story. Try to from the beginning to present. When I come here, I was 23 years old. I was like one of the youngest people around. I had a hard time identifying with the other people just because of their age. And then they talked me about trying to identify out and all that. And so I kept hearing people share stuff, though, that rang home with me, that struck a nerve in me. Somehow I could relate, or I thought I could relate. And so I kept coming back. And I kept coming to these meetings because the people, I believe that they were not using. And the majority of the people were smiling. And they always greeted me politely or upbeat, whatever. It was different than what I was used to. I'd never been around a group of people that were upbeat, positive, happy to see me. Nothing of that was part of my past, really. My story is I had to get some help from the court system to get clean. So they gave me an ultimatum. You know, I've been through three 30-day rehabs where they, you know, just give me lots of pills and tried to work with me somehow, and I got out and left and wind up picking back up and doing the same old thing I'd done, which is use. And never worked. Tried to beat the system by, you know, going back and trying to get in one of the rehabs, and because I turned in a dirty urine or something like that. That was the last time I went into an actual 30-day program. The judge sent two plainclothes detectives in Southern Maryland Hospital. It took them 4 hours to get in just to get me out. And that's the first time my gut flipped, was when they walked me out the front door of Southern Maryland Hospital. They said, "You either killed somebody or this judge don't like you." And I was like, wow, I didn't kill nobody. Okay, this was in 1985, and I had a $100,000 cash-only bond on me. And that wasn't because I was a badass or that I killed somebody. That was because my family was great enablers, and they had the tendency of buying me out of whatever trouble I got into. And I worked for my family as well, so I always had money coming out of my check on a weekly basis to pay back for the attorneys and the stuff that I had gotten broken or tore up, all because of the disease. So I said, okay, I'm going to give this a try. And you know, I started coming to meetings. I had to go to it was a treatment facility. This is just part of my story. So in that treatment facility, they said, go to meetings, get a sponsor, work some steps, and do what these other people are doing, and you're going to be all right. And that's what I started to do. So, you know, meanwhile, I know I'm in a protected environment, blah, 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 but still, I said, I got to give this a try, because nothing else has worked for me so far. And to be honest with you, I was tired of going to work all week and going out on Friday night and waking up Saturday morning or coming to Saturday morning and being broke, you know, at a real young age. All my money was going to using or to lawyers or, you know, to reimburse somebody for something that I broke, tore up. So I'm going to meetings, and like I said, I'm picking up on little bits of information people are sharing. They said, well, you're in the right spot if you have a problem dealing with life on life's terms. And I was like, wow. I thought, I would love to be able to deal with a situation, a problem, without acting a fool and making a fool out of myself. I thought, wow, that would be something else. And I didn't understand when they said that the drugs were just a symptom of my disease. I didn't understand that in the beginning. You know, but I kept coming back, and I picked a couple people that I would go to with a problem. So a little while down the road, you know, I'm out of my facility. I'm out in the real world, okay? And once again, the whole time the facility said, look, this ain't nothing. When you get out in the real world is when, you know, you're going to need these meetings. You know, and I started off, you know, like, well, I was going to meetings like I would go to a bowling league or something once a week. It didn't work. You know, it didn't work. And, you know, I picked up my meeting attendance and I started doing a little more work, and it seemed like I was getting a little ahead and I was doing better. And, you know, I was dealing with life on life's terms better. And once again, you know, I knew that's what my problem was. I didn't have no coping skills or nothing. In the beginning, I don't know about y'all, but I had one feeling, and that was anger. So I go to a guy that's in a meeting. He's got some time. And I say, I got a problem. I said, my roommate's using. He's eating up all my food. And he won't pay me rent. Alright. The food wasn't a problem. The using was a problem. And him not paying me his part of his rent was a problem. Okay? But that's exactly how I said it to him. I was 24, 25, 10. No coping skills, once again. But I knew how I was going to deal with the situation. I knew that that's how I was going to deal with it. And I didn't want to. I mean, from inside. From deep down inside, I wanted to do something different. Y'all been telling me about doing something different. And, you know, the guy just looked over at me and goes, pray for him. And I was like, wow. I didn't say that to him. This gentleman was quite a bit older than me, and I wasn't going to disrespect him. Okay? I just was like, wow. I'm going to have to give it a try. I didn't have nothing else. I didn't have anything. They already told me I was powerless. Okay? Wasn't really nothing I could do, but I knew that I didn't want to go back to handling the situation like I did. I knew that much. That there was so much of that in me that I had to go the other route. I really didn't. And that was this fellowship working on me. You know, I was already picking up the little bits and pieces and doing the little stuff, the baby step stuff, going, showing to work up on time and not trying to lie and not trying to steal, try to be a better person. But this was a situation that I had to deal with on, you know, hand to hand, and I didn't want to fight the guy. So at the time I didn't have a car, so my dad picked me up, took me to this guy's work. I met him there. He was on the inside of the building. I was on the outside, and we're kind of tugging with the door backwards and forth. And I remember this shit like yesterday. And we got out in the parking lot together, and we started arguing a little bit. And I said, Albert, all I want is my key back. That's all I want. So we got into a little bit of shouting, and not much. And he gave me the key back. And now, I'd done what I was told. I'd been praying for him. Okay, I didn't have no real hate. I might have had some anger towards him, been mad at the situation, which I really couldn't fully understand at the time. But I just wanted to pray for him. So he gives me the key. I walk away. There was no fists, no nothing crazy like I had been. All I knew had applied. You know, I didn't do it. I got in the car and sat down, and my father goes, "Well, I can tell you one thing. If you're waiting to hit him, you're waiting too long." Can you believe that? My dad didn't raise me that way. He really didn't. But that's what he told me. And I just sat down and shook my head. I was so happy that I didn't have to hit him and we didn't have to fight. It didn't matter if I got an ass whipping or not, to be honest with you. That was my first hands-on experience, okay, where I really tried to apply what somebody taught me in the rooms. And this guy just looked over at me as humble as could be and just said, "Pray for him." So I've been trying to apply that in my life from then on, because I had some real working knowledge, let's say, that this works. That was my first life on life's terms dilemma, living out in the real world. Going on down the road of just trying to be a better person, trying to work a third step, maybe I'm going to turn my will and my life over to the care of somebody, and I don't know who. And man, I was tossing and turning in the bed trying to figure this deal out, and then bam, it kind of hit me. Wait a minute, somebody has been watching out over you through all your using. Now that made it easy for me. That way I could understand it, because I've been in a lot of car wrecks, fights, all that kind of stuff. And I come out with like scratches or nothing. So I said, somebody's already been watching over me. So that just kind of opened, that just made me a little more open mind. And I did this before the other thing. I'm just a little twisted in my line up here. And I started to try to do more of this God's will than my will. And I've been around long enough. I've used everything you could possibly use, buying stuff, food, opposite sex, you name it, I've done it. And I can get so caught up in my disease that I don't know that I'm caught up in my disease. Okay? Doesn't matter what it is. I still have the same disease I come in here with. Okay? How I feel on the inside is normally a pretty good telltale sign for me. Okay? Not just the halt thing, the hungry, angry, lonely, tired. That's something I need to apply, on a daily basis too. I can't tell you when I had this unconditional love for everyone here. I actually have unconditional love for everyone in this room. I don't need to know you. It doesn't matter if you're east side, west side, south side, tracks. It doesn't matter. It don't matter. Okay. I don't know about y'all. I like to feel good, like all the time. All the time I want to feel good. Okay? And I surround myself with the fellowship, meetings. Everything I know is from the fellowship and the meetings and the people. And that's my life. I've got a great sponsor. He's got less time than me. That's kind of like unheard of. But he's a really spiritual guy. That's why I picked him. Okay. If this was something I could have bought, I'd have done bought it a long time ago. You know, I also knew in the very beginning when they told me about step 12, I thought that's what I want. I was on one, but I wanted what was in 12. And I didn't want to do none of the work in between. Okay? I don't want to do the work. I just want the prize. Okay? That's what I wanted. You know, and I noticed little changes, the whole showing up to work on time and they're kind of giving me attaboys, and I'm feeling a little bit better about myself, and my self-esteem's going up a little bit. And, you know, they're saying, well, hey, you know, I noticed myself being a little assertive, just a little. So I move up just a little. You know, and they say, well, okay, we're going to give you the key to the parts building. Okay? Now, sign this. It says, if you lose the key, you're going to pay us $550 to rekey it. I thought, well, that don't sound fair. But I didn't care. I just took the key. I looked at it like this was, they kind of trusted me. You know, that was a good feeling. Because I didn't have that when I come in here. I stole from my family. Okay? And they'd give the shirt off my back to get me straightened out, but it just couldn't be done. Because I didn't want it then. But I always like what I hear in the meetings, you know. I could hear people share stuff and it made sense to me and it rang home and I could identify with them. And it's talking about self-centered. Now, like when we're talking about doing some of that step work, I'm talking about looking at all these character defects. In the beginning, I didn't think I had them. I don't know about y'all. Y'all had them. I didn't have all of them. That's how clueless I was. You know? Let me get into a little bit of step work. Start thinking about this stuff for real and getting real honest, gut level, and thinking, man, I felt like shit. I felt bad. Because it was like, wow, this is, you just like everybody else in here. And I loved y'all. Because I could identify. Because, once again, you know, I wanted to be able to identify with somebody. That's why I started using anyway, at least that's what I thought. Because I didn't fit in. I didn't fit in. Somehow, some way, I didn't feel like I fit in. So, you know, I had to look at some of my defects of character and try to work through that and make myself aware. And had to ask to have them removed. I don't know about y'all, but when I do the footwork and I try to get somewhere with it and it doesn't seem like it comes that well, comes that easy, man, I wind up praying about it. Once again, that's God's will, not mine. I just got the 5-minute sign and I ain't nowhere near done, so I'm going to have to fast forward. I went back to work for my family. They called me up and said, hey, we want you to come back work for us. First thing I told them is I ain't going to jail for nobody. I had enough of that. And I've been running one of my family's companies for quite some time, and I'm not trying to turn this into a big success meeting. Okay? All I've done was go down there and run the company, and I've tried to apply in my life what I've learned in these rooms. and I mess up on a daily basis. I make mistakes. I fall short. I go back into my addict behavior. But at least today, I'm aware of it. Okay? And there ain't no reason to pick up. No reason to pick up and use. Okay? I've lost dear friends in here. April 10th just passed. That was my younger brother's birthday. That's the first person I started to pray for, so that he could get this. But he died as a direct result of this disease. He was my younger brother. So April 10th, you know, every year is his birthday. I'm kind of like my sister in Indiana texts me. She said, "I love you." And I said, "I love you." She said, "How was your day?" I said, "It was a mixed bag. You know, it wasn't all that great. It wasn't all that bad." No matter what happens, you don't have to use. And, you know, I think of God as good orderly direction. Do the next right thing in front of me. And that's what I've been trying to do. Real quick, my clean date's 5/21/1985. All right. I went by the Bayou the other day, which is a nightclub in Georgetown. I went by it on my bicycle. Okay? The last time I went there, I had 3 months clean and I was going to meet a girl. Until I got back to the place and they said, "What are you going to do? She drinks." And I was like, "Man, I like kissing." I ain't been back since. So when I drove by the Bayou the other day on my bicycle, to me I thought, "Man, I'm blessed. I am so blessed to be able to be out here and do this." And I didn't want to go in the club. Not at all. I've done some other things that it's God's will. I was able to be the bone marrow donor to my sister that texted me the other night and said she loved me. "And how was your day?" She's got 10 plus years of remission. You know? That's God's will, not mine. I met some wonderful people. And I had to look no further than Narcotics Anonymous. All the people in this room, everybody in here, all y'all have assets. All y'all have assets. All y'all have good things about you. And that's what I want to leave you on. Thanks for letting me share.